hear our ministers saying, I really just hate this whole process. He says in verse 8, he says, and if ye offer blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer lame and sick, is it not evil? Now what you have to understand, they aren't offering for themselves, they're offering for others. Priests represented people to God, right? Prophets represented God to the people. And when people came to, let's say, the doorway of the tabernacle or the temple, they would come to the doorway and they'd bring their sacrifice. What was the priest supposed to do at that point? They were supposed to examine the sacrifice. Why? Because that was their job. If you brought a lame animal to the priest's door, he's supposed to turn you away. Now, what would cause him not to do it? Why would he go ahead and offer a lame sacrifice, a blind sacrifice, a blemished sacrifice? Well, that's the core of their problem. They feared man. They wanted to do what would make man happy. They changed it. They said, okay, you brought, that's good. Pat them on the back, send them on. Even though they were bringing the worst of the worst of their flocks and their herds. He says in verse 8, if you bring the blind for sacrifice, is that not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is that not evil? When he says that they hated the process of the temple, called the Lord's table contemptible in verse 7, what he's actually saying is the stuff that they had to eat was really kind of bad. Think about it. Where did the priests get their sustenance? From what was brought. So if they're taking the spotted, they're taking the blemished, they're taking the beaten, they're saying, you know, there's nothing we can do with these people. These people are bringing all this rotten stuff and we have to serve in this rotten situation. He says in verse 8, he says, go offer this to the governor, who by this point was probably a Grecian governor who actually was ruling at this point. And he says, will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, says the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech God, that God will be gracious unto us. This has been said, or this hath been by your means. Will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? Now, it's a little clumsy in our translation in verse 10 for us to get our minds around. But what he's basically saying is he's saying, you tell these people to bring rotten animals to me, and I'm supposed to turn around, and you tell them, I'll bless them. See, the priests were the daysmen. They were the ones who put one hand on God and one hand on man and tried to represent. But they had lost the reality that we saw, I think it was in Zechariah, where we saw God telling Zechariah about Zerubbabel and about Joshua that they were men to be wondered at. That these men were men wondered at because the whole world was around them. All of Israel, at any rate, was going to be watching them and everything they did had meaning. And you could see, if you looked close at Joshua the high priest, Jesus, the branch. And in the sacrifice, what were they supposed to see? They were supposed to see Jesus. Every sacrifice was a representation of a cleansing that was to come. And yet they were taking the flawed. He says, man, you're offering this stuff and you don't get it one whit. And you are the priests and you've laid down and you compromised and you feared the face of men. And the Bible says the fear of man, what? Brings a snare. If you let the man around you tell you how it's supposed to be done, you'll end up in a ditch real quick. No, God called priests, as He called preachers, to be willing to take a stand against evil in their day. These guys had not done it. Verse 10 said, who is there among you that would shut the doors for naught? The words for naught are added, as you see. Sometimes helpful, sometimes not so much. Here, not so much. Because what he's actually saying is there not one priest among you who'll just shut the doors and say, stop coming? If you're going to bring me junk, stay away. That's what they should have done. Well, how would we eat? Remember the judges? That one Levite went out of Jerusalem looking for a place. Remember that? Preachers many times are looking for a place that's going to be more comfortable. Well, he says, you know, isn't there one priest in verse 10? Isn't there one among you that would shut the doors? Neither do ye kindle fire and neither kindle fire upon my altar for the nothingness of what you got. What are the sacrifices of God? A broken and a contrite spirit, right? That He won't despise. God in Isaiah tells us out of the gate, He says, I'm tired and weary with your sacrifices. Sick of them. Sacrifices of God are a broken and contrite spirit. David found out. by getting there. Digging down deep and saying, this is my heart, I'm a mess, you're perfect, help me. You know? And that's how a person really goes through life. We go through life with a limp. This whole journey, like Paul said, is walking along with the body of this death. If we don't acknowledge that it's really, really hard, and we fool ourselves into thinking everything's wonderful and it's going to be easy for some and not for others, then we're deceiving ourselves. Paul made it clear. We are under a sentence of death, really, for all practical purposes, as far as the world's concerned. They hate us. They hated me, they're going to hate you. Paul said, who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? Not only does the world hate me, the devil hates me, and he's the god of this world. And guess what? I've also got an enemy inside. It's called sin, principle within me. When I would do good, evil's present with me. So I got it all going. It's hard. He says, would any of you just bar the door and stop going through these motions just for the motion's sake? That's not what I had in mind at all. He says, will I accept an offering at your hand in verse 10? He says, for from the rising of the sun even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And there he is showing us where we're going. We're going around the corner. It's going to be the church age. The Gentiles are going to be those who say, I'm great. You haven't said it, the Gentiles will say it. And he said, in every place incense shall be offered upon unto my name and a pure offering. What is the Gentiles' pure offering? Jesus, right? The pure offering that the Gentiles offer is Jesus. Those who really understand it, it's not about statutes, vestments, stained glass, buildings. It's about Jesus. And those who understand will constantly be uttering His name under their breath. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we get so used to not saying what we need to say in this world because we're ashamed in some wit, but we ought to just get back on our game and realize it is about Him and stop trying to fool ourselves into thinking everything's all right, because it's not. Things are hard. But God gives us the grace and He's with us always. He says in verse 11, He says, this pure offering will be not, for my name shall be great among heathen. Gentiles, heathen, people who had at one time turned their back, which heathen has the idea of back, having your back turned to somebody. He says, the heathen are going to give praise to my name. And again, if you take that and lay it overside, if you will, alongside and parallel with Romans 11, the Bible says God's whole plan is that He would take the Gentiles and provoke the Jews to jealousy. Verse 12 says, but you have profaned my name. Profaning means has the idea of taking something that is holy and making it common and carnal. Okay, you've just made it something that can be tread upon. I remember years ago hearing Warren Wiersbe talk about the Bible and how he hated to see a Bible put on the floor. Hated to see a Bible on the floor. And I thought, that's pretty powerful. So I try not to put my Bible. I took that to heart. I said, you know, I try to put my Bible. He says, if I see a Bible in a stack of books and it's underneath, I'll put it on top. And I do the same. I try to do that. The Bible is holy, and we need not profane the Bible. When people take Bibles and treat them poorly, when they're just kind of dropping them, and care, you know, when you drop your Bible, it'll startle you a little bit. If there's anything holy we got in our hands, it's right there. You take that which is holy. He says, you've taken my name and you've made it common and you've made it carnal and you've put me among other gods. You've brought in the Baals and you've brought in the Molechs and you've brought in all the Ashtaroths and you have made my name a joke among the Gentiles. He says, you profaned it in verse 12 in that you say, the table of the Lord is polluted, the fruit thereof, even this His meat is contemptible. There again, they're letting it in. They're not holding the bar, trusting God to take care of them if they'll just hold the line. And they're compromising. I think that's what we're having happen across the board today. You go to a Joel Osteen's church and they're going to tell you, right? Wonderful. Wonderful. Everything's wonderful. We'll sing and we'll praise and we'll talk about how wonderful God is. And you know what? They sing the same songs that every other church in America is singing today. But when they preach, they have a different message, don't they? What about this... What's this lady's name? Kay Arthur. Just heard it the other day. There's a church that's going to be hosting through their video, satellite uplink, Kay Arthur speaking at their church just up the road. She's going to be Bible teacher Kay Arthur. Who's she teaching? Women? Everybody. Men, women, anybody who wants to come. In fact, she's happy about it. You know what? They fear the face of men. Nobody's saying to her, listen, you can't come in the door. You're not allowed in the door here. This is not where you're supposed to be. You're a disgrace. You're breaking down the barriers. You're corrupting and destroyed and distorting the paradigm God set up. It wasn't our idea. We're just under the book. It's true. And yet we've let them in the door. And what are we offering God? We're offering that which is lame, that which is broken, that which is limping, that which has no sight in one eye. You ever seen an animal with an eye that's been blinded? It's kind of gross. This is what they were bringing. You ever seen a three-legged dog? Yeah. One that's been hit by a car? That's what they were bringing. They were bringing the kind of stuff that would just kind of turn your stomach. You know, God didn't even want a priest to serve with a thumb missing. Or bald, I'm almost done. He didn't want anybody serving that had any marks in their body. Because He was trying to set forth a pretty perfect picture of how perfect heaven would be. And though every wasn't beautiful, it was just a matter of man created in the image of God, impeccable. And that's what He wanted represented. And if nowhere else, certainly, on the altar. On the altar. And that's where they ate. And they said it's contemptible. Well, they're eating the junk. Why are they eating the junk? Because they're letting the junk in. Verse 13 says, you said also, behold, what a weariness it is it. And He says, and ye have snuffed at it. You sniffed at it. You're like, psh, psh. He says, you hate the ministration that I've set up. And He says, and you brought that which is torn, lame, and sick. Thus you have brought an offering. Should I accept it from your hand, saith the Lord? See, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? Who does God have an issue with? The leadership. He said, when the leadership went bad, everybody went bad. I was listening to a guy on the radio the other day who was explaining all the nuances of a recent movie that had come out not long ago. And he was recommending it to others. He said, now some people might not be able to put up with the language. There's a lot of language in this movie. It's on Christian radio. If I called the guy's name, which I don't want to do because I don't want you to not listen to him ever again, but I thought, I don't want to be the guy standing in the pulpit saying, listen to this. If you make choices as believer priests to go hither and yon, that's between you and your conscience and God. We need to lift up a higher standard. We can't be saying, go listen to this, go watch this, got a really good message, and try to use it to win your neighbor. And what he did was he was explaining how this movie was a great thing, even though the language was just something most people couldn't bear. That's the day in which we live. We're offering God the lame, the sick, the weak, and the blind. And He says in verse 14, but cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. He has a spotless. He's saying, the person, cursed be the guy you're scared of. That's what he's saying. You see that?